Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live Cenacle series with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. They're coming to us live today via live stream from Maryville, Tennessee. We are indeed so blessed. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time, truly. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to bring Mother and the sisters in right now. I've asked them to unmute themselves. And once they do that, I'm going to
Hello.
put everything on here. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter, and everybody
Hello,
out there.
Peter.
Hello, how are you?
Everybody. Happy
It's
Sunday.
a glorious day and welcome back, Sister Magdalena.
Hello, everybody. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, kumusta
Mabuti
ka na po?
naman
And not po because you're old, but po because you're a sister.
salamat.
It's just so lovely. You know, Mother, we've been through struggles. We've been through this entire Lent. We're in the Holy Week now, and we have this blessed opportunity to come together on Palm Sunday. And then on Thursday on Radio Maria, we've got another glorious opportunity on Blessed Holy Thursday to come together. So we are indeed so blessed, Mother.
Yeah, we're blessed, and this is a time to meditate on our Lord's passion. How much he suffered. I hope that most of you have been reading the Passion book, the Passion of Our Lord. He's given Luisa many promises with that book. He said that in areas where that book is read and totally read, they will be preserved from chastisement, or the chastisement will be lessened. Some communities get 24 people to read 1 hour every day, and they shuffle the hours so that all 24 hours are read in one day, every day. I found it, we did it one time at the monastery when I was at Mother Angelica's, because we have so much prayer already, and we're already reading the Divine Will for an hour every day. I found it easier just to read it every night all year. So I read the Passion book before I go to bed every night all year. I find it easier for me. You have to do it the way that's best for you. But during this week, Holy Week, it's very, very good idea to meditate on this Passion book. It's a Passion book like no other Passion book. All other passions speak about our Lord's physical sufferings. This is about his interior sufferings, how much he suffered for every soul, because his suffering was because he loved so much. He loves in a way that you can't imagine. If you knew how much he loves you, you would die of joy. And so the Lord's suffering was that he knew that with all of this that he was going through, many souls would still be lost. And so he suffered so much for the loss of souls. So what can we do? We can try to live in his divine will more totally, more completely, so that souls will be saved, to give honor and glory to God for all eternity in heaven. And we can take all the divine lives he lived for all those souls that will be lost in hell and take them as our own, because he relived everyone's life to perfection, even those souls who are lost in hell. And so we want to give God the Father all the honor and glory he deserves by taking those lives he relived for every person, even those lost souls, taking it as our own. We have nothing to give him except that he gives it to us first, and we return the gift to him, and we return it to him, and he gives it to the Father. So in the end, it'll be like the Father will get all the glory as if Adam and Eve had never fallen. So we make up for all of that through taking what Jesus gave to us. I'd like to read here in volume 3, May 3rd, 1900. It's a feast of the cross in heaven. This morning, Louisa says, I found myself outside of myself, and I saw all of heaven studded with crosses, some small, some large, some medium. Some which were larger emanated more splendor. It was a most sweet enchantment to see so many crosses adorning the firmament, more refulgent than suns. Then it seemed that heaven opened, and one can see and hear the feast that blessed that the blessed were making for the cross. Those who had suffered more were celebrated more on this day. One could distinguish in a special way the martyrs and those who had suffered in a hidden way. Oh, how esteemed were the cross that those and those who had suffered more in that blessed dwelling. As I was seeing this, a voice resounded throughout the whole of heaven saying, if the Lord did not send the crosses upon the earth, he would be like a father who has no love for his own children, who wants to see them poor and dishonored instead of honored and rich. You know, we have one life to live. This life is a test where we'll be for all eternity. And life is short. Even if you live 100 years, it's short compared to eternity, less than a drop in the bucket. So why do we want to spend our lives dwelling on the earth, focusing on the things that will comfort and console us, what we think will bring us happiness? The world does not give you happiness. Only God will make to know, love, and serve him, to be happy in this life and the next. And we're only going to be happy in this life if we know, love, and serve him here now. And accept all the sufferings, all the crosses with resignation, knowing that the cross is a great gift. It's a gift, and we want to push the gift away. The cross is celebrated on earth with resignation. Will give us a much higher place in heaven for all eternity. In volume 7, he says, July 26, 1906, Louisa was saying, this morning, as my adorable Jesus made himself seen embracing the cross, I thought in my interior, what were his thoughts in receiving the cross? And he said to me, my daughter, when I received the cross, I embraced it as my dearest treasure, because in the cross, I dowered souls and espoused them to myself. Now, upon looking at the cross at its length and breadth, I rejoiced because I saw in it sufficient dowries for all my spouses, and none of them could fear not being able to marry me, because I held in my own hands in the cross the price of their dowry. But this is with this condition alone, that if the soul accepts the little gifts I send to her, which are the crosses, as a pledge of her acceptance of me as her spouse, the marriage is formed, and I give her the gift of the dowry. If then she does not accept the gift, that is, if she is not resigned to my will, everything is undone. And even if I want to dower her, I cannot, because in order to form a marriage, it always takes the will of both sides. And since the soul does not accept my gift, it means that she does not want to accept the marriage. So we're called spouses of Christ, but so are you, even you men. Christ, the church is a spouse of Christ. We all belong to the church. He wants to marry you too. He wants that intimate relationship with each one of you, whether you're married or not. Christ has to be first in your life, not your husband, not your wife. If you want a happy marriage, you have to have Christ first in your life. But he's got to be first in each person's life. We can't be attached to anything. Any attachments we have when we die, we have to go to purgatory to get detached. So we want to be detached in this life. How do we get detached in this life? Through the cross. The cross detaches us from all things. Our Lord told Louisa in some of the spots I've read in the Divine Will here that all of her friends, she had, you know, were leaving her, you know, and some people probably thought her experiences were weird. And our Lord said, I want you all for myself. I allow that to happen. Everything that happens to you on a daily basis, our Lord allows it to happen to you, and he brings a greater good out of it, no matter what it is. Every little cross you have, every little pain, every little sorrow, he allows it in your life to bring about a greater good. It's a great gift. Jump for joy over the cross. It's making you better. It's helping you grow in holiness. It says in volume 7, August 11, 1906, the cross is a treasure. My daughter, the cross is a treasure. And the safest place in which to keep this valuable treasure is in one's own soul, or rather it is a safe place when the soul is disposed to receive this treasure with patience, with resignation, and with the other virtues. So we must be patient in the cross if you're going to be resigned to it. Physical suffering is awful. It's hard. People who suffer emotionally, that's one of the worst. depression. Many people out there may be depressed. It's a terrible suffering. It's a terrible cross. God has chosen you to suffer a great cross, perhaps, because he wants to give you a higher place in heaven. You continue to suffer redemptive suffering, and you continue this redemptive suffering to help save souls. He wants to relive his life in you. He's suffering in your suffering, and realize that when you're suffering, Jesus comes suffering my suffering, whether it's emotional, psychologically, or physically, whatever kind of suffering it is, say, Jesus, please come suffer in my suffering, and you're doing a divine will act. He's taken over. Believe that he is suffering in your suffering, and everything Jesus does never has no beginning, no end. It's a divine act. It goes on for eternally. In November 7th, he says, this is my goal, and this is why I often speak to you about perfect resignation, because by living in my will, the soul acquires the most heroic love and reaches the point of loving me with my own love. She becomes all love, and becoming all love, she is a continuous contact with me. So she is with me, in me, and for me, she does everything I want. Nor does she move or desire anything but my will, in which all the love of the Eternal One is enclosed, and in which she herself remains enclosed. By living in this way, the soul almost comes to the point of dissolving faith and hope, because as she comes to live of divine will, the soul no longer feels in contact with faith and hope. Since she lives of the will of God, what does she have to believe if she has found it and made it her food? And what does she have to hope for if she already possesses it by living not outside of God, but in God? Therefore, true and perfect resignation is a mark of true predestination and the sure possession that the soul has of God. Have you understood? Think it over carefully. So the souls in purgatory no longer need hope and faith. They already have resigned in that. The souls in heaven, faith and hope is gone. They're all living in the divine will. All the souls in purgatory are in the divine will. They want nothing else but God's will. All the souls in heaven, the saints, all want only God's will. They don't need hope and faith anymore. So as you live more and more in divine will, more and more living the life of Christ here on earth, you will die so much to yourself that you will know without a doubt. You will believe totally in God. This is the greatest gift that anyone could receive is to live in his divine will. You have nothing to hope for. You've already got him. You're living the life of Christ here on earth. That's probably the fourth degree of living in the divine will, you know, but to get to that point, we must start somewhere. So you have to do your acts around the divine will now. Read the divine will writings every day, because if you don't read it, you're going to put it on the shelf and forget about it, and you won't continually do your acts around the divine will, realizing he is doing everything in and through you all day long after you ask him to in the morning. That's your desire of your heart. He takes the desire of your heart, becomes a reality. You want him to do everything in and through you all day long. He is doing everything in and through you all day, even if you forget about it. But he wants you to remember him throughout the day, to think of him. So we think of whatever we're doing, realizing Jesus does it in you. At the beginning, you may be saying, Jesus, come do this, that, and everything else within me. After a while, it just becomes a thought. You know that he's doing it in you. After a while, you just in that realm where you're just convinced, you know that Jesus is reliving his life in you totally. And you know, if you sin, if you have a voluntary sin, you just tell him you're sorry and you get right back in. If it's an involuntary sin, it's not a sin, but involuntary fault that you do something and you didn't even realize and you think about it later. Of course, we must try to overcome all of our bad faults. So if your involuntary sin might be, you might think something or say something negative without thinking about it, then later you realize I shouldn't have said that. You know, that's a fault. To try to change that by thinking more positively about everything and everyone, get in the habit of that, and you're going to be more totally living in his divine will. Because what happens is when we do these little involuntary things, letting our faults take over our passions, even though we don't get out of his divine will, because it's not a sin, you're like out of the loop, you know, in the sea of his divine will, all of the acts and around everything that everyone ever did, Jesus, Our Lady, Louisa, it's going around, flowing around, and your acts and rounds are flowing around in theirs, you get out of the loop. You're still in the sea of divine will, but you're out of that loop. So you want to overcome your passions, overcome your faults by developing good habits, whether it's gluttony. You know, you may eat too much of something and then realize after, oh, I shouldn't have eaten so much. So you didn't do it consciously. You know, you did it unconsciously and then thought of it later. That's a fault that you can change through developing better habits. And so we want to live our lives totally for him. That's the greatest martyrdom, the white martyrdom of living totally in his divine will, doing only what he wills you to do, dying to your own will and always asking him throughout the day, what do you want me to do in this situation? Do we ever ask him, Lord, what are you asking of me at this moment? And do it, you know, whatever you feel he tells you at that moment.
Yeah, it's like we're sort of out of the orbit when we do that. But again, just like a planet cannot come back into the orbit unless the gravitational pull is enough. So yeah, I mean, there's so much there, Mother. You mentioned early on about you know, basically the intentions. You know, we set out to do something, we do the best we can, and Jesus is promising that if we do have an upright intention, we want it for the right reasons, and we're doing the best we can, that we're going to be given credit as if we completed whatever we set out to do. And God gives us, I think, the greatest of all examples when he says about coming to earth. He says, if I came solely for myself, my birth, life, death, and resurrection would have only effectuated the change for just a couple generations, the young, the middle-aged, and the elderly, because that's who's in front of us. But because he came to do the will of the Father, it's in the eternal now. It's imposing on everyone a positive reflection so that he did the best he could, came to save all souls. Now, did he save all souls? No. Any fault of Jesus? Of course not. So the Father, because Jesus did everything he can to save all souls, he redeemed us all. He tried to save us all, but some just didn't want to be saved. He's not going to invalidate our free will. But the Father gave Christ credit as if he did save all souls because that was his intention. That's what he set out to do, and he did everything the best of his ability without, again, of course, invalidating our free will. It's all here. It's all about giving glory and honor to God. That's the intention. And if we have that intention, God will give us the grace. And you mentioned also about the souls in purgatory and the ones in heaven. They never lose their free will. But they're never going to exercise their human will because they're sort of, Jesus says, they're wrapped so tightly in the love, comfort, and bonding of God that they have nothing else to aspire for. That's it. See, right now we run from precipice to precipice. We go to one adoration. We go to one litany because we're clamoring. We want to come back to that union, that perfect union, that perfect peace. We cannot get that without God. God is now giving us the opportunity to get it on earth before we get to heaven. It is the greatest gift that he has given to mankind, and it's the greatest gift that he can give to mankind. So hence, there's no more chasing butterflies. There's nothing more we can aspire for. We have it. He's given it to us. It's right here. Now. Not later. Now.
And the souls in purgatory, if they had an opportunity to come back on earth, they wouldn't want to come back to relive any life because now they know they're saved. They don't want to lose that salvation. They know that even though they may be suffering terribly in purgatory, they only long for God. And they don't want to come back to earth and mess that up, you know. So, right. You know, that they're resigned totally into his will, whatever God wants, you know. And that we have to realize that when we do acts around the divine will, Jesus relived our lives totally, your whole life to perfection. And when you ask him to come in, you take those things that he already did for you as your own and return it to him and every act that you do, it's like he gives it to the Father, but it's like it came from you, not Jesus. He did it for us, right. Like little babies, you know. Right. I heard Daniel O'Connor say one day that he has a little child, 3-year-old daughter or something. She was helping, he was building a table or something, and I forget what it was. And the little girl, she wanted to be a part of it with him. So he would ask her to give him the hammer, mm-hmm. to hand him a nail, to hand him something. And then when he finished, it was like she helped to make it, but he made her feel like she built the table or whatever it was, you know. So that's what God does to us. Jesus did it all for us, but we're like little babies. We want it. We take it, what he did for us. And it looks like we did it ourselves, but Jesus did it for us to make up for all the wrong that we'd be done throughout the centuries, since Adam, the fall of Adam and Eve. So the Father will get all the glory. In the end, it would be like nothing evil ever happened. The Father would get all the glory as if every soul was saved, Because Jesus relived every person's life to perfection, and all of these people living in the divine law, taking those lives as their own and returning to him to give to the Father.
Yeah, and that example about the child also, that's exactly, it emulates what the divine will is. I mean, let's look at Jesus saying that that creation is not completed yet. We are helping, we are participating in creation being fulfilled. Does that mean we're doing something physically? No, but God's allowing us to be part of it, even in a very insignificant way. Basically, he's asking us, okay, you can come along, ride on my coattail. You don't have to do anything. Just be with me, trust me, have confidence in me, and we'll do it together. So again, that is the gift. Nothing we've merited. He's giving it to us. All we have to say is yes, we want it, or no, we don't want it. It's very, very simple.
He loves us so much, he just wants us to want it. It's like,
right,
he loves us so much more than any father or mother could ever love their child.
Right.
What do fathers and mothers want for their child's perfection? They want them to live good. Like, God wants it more for us than that, because he loves us so immensely more than any mother or father could love their children here on earth.
Right. And last but not least, you said about losing things. You know, God says if you're losing things, you're not really losing things. It's me taking things away from you. Because if you think about it, nothing that we have here on this in this earth, really nothing we need, nothing we take with us. He's stripping us of that. Now, sometimes this looks very daunting. Again, this is God's mysterious permissible will. He allows these things to happen. Again, like you said, Mother, to bring about a greater good. So we have to let him. Next time something not so good happens, as long as we're not running into, you know, sin intentionally or something like that, allow it to happen. Say, Lord, I know this is happening for a reason. I know it's not pleasant right now, but I know you're going to bring about a greater good. That confidence really will help us get through anything, especially during what's coming up in the very, hopefully, not so near future, but it appears to be very near future. It's going to get very difficult.
I think to thank and praise him too for everything that happens throughout the day, the good and the bad. Thank and praise God for everything, because the devil flees when you do that. And then you have peace. Otherwise, you might start thinking more negatively about what's happening to you. And those negative thoughts will bring you down and make you not live in the present moment in the way God wants you to live it. So thanking and praising him in every little cross that you have to endure, the devil flees when you do that. He doesn't want you to thank and praise God for things that he's doing. So he please, and God can come into the situation and give you peace and joy.
Amen. This is Magdalena.
Hello. Happy Feast of Palm Sunday, everybody. And I was listening to your interaction between Mother and you. I my heart just get enraged, like, oh my God, that's so beautiful, so beautiful. What I'm feeling actually, you know, we've been reading these passages, you know, the Passion and the volumes. And it seems to me that every time I hear about it, I get so excited. I don't know that my heart just starts to palpitate more. And I think it's the Holy Spirit moving my heart, and I don't even know where to begin. But I was listening to Mother, and I was listening to you. You were talking about, you know, how the Father and the child, the Father wanted us to participate in the work of the Lord, the work of the Eternal Father. And I asked myself, why is it that there is now a break? Why is it that, you know, we desire something good, we desire to love God, but yet we are so weak and we can't always do what God wants us to do? And it puzzles me. And I come to think just now, actually, that it is the broken relationship. First of all, the reason why we no longer do the divine will, and it's very difficult for us to do the divine will, to even do some acts. And why do we forget? Why do we always, you know, we know that gluttony is wrong, but why do we succumb to that? You know, despite of the knowledge, it is because of the breakage of the relationship. We lost that relationship with the Father because we have inherited the sin of our father, of course, but then we also have our human will. Because of our weakness, we can choose to do the other way, to do away from God's will. So like to overcome our weaknesses, obviously, is to make that desire, to have that desire, even though we don't have feelings about it, because desire is not necessarily just feelings, but it's the will, the act of the will to desire, to want. And if I don't have the feelings yet, I would go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me the desire. Give me the, if I need a feeling, Lord, I want to have that feeling, but if you don't want to give me that feeling, then I will just offer this dryness that I don't even know. You know, I may be feeling maybe and the spiritual dryness where I don't feel anything, or probably even a little bit confused, but offer it up to the Lord. There's nothing that we can give to him, even our very own sins, our very own weaknesses, that we can offer to him that he won't be able to take. And in exchange, if we desire to exchange that with his divine will, he can definitely give it to us. And it's not on our time frame, of course, but then mother mentioned about patience. So, you know, it requires patience. And these are the images of sufferings, because when you think of sufferings and crosses, sometimes we like to think of physical sufferings, you know, like illnesses or even probably, you know, relationships that we suffer from, broken relationships. But I think sufferings can come in many, many phases. It could be suffering from not getting what we want. As simple as that. We can be suffering from not going to where we want to go. So basically not being able to do what our human will wants. By being patient with ourselves, by not giving life to what we want in order for what God wants in us, that itself is a suffering, but then that is a redemptive suffering. And when we unite our sufferings with the Lord's sufferings, then it becomes redemptive. And then it not only redeeming ourselves, but we can redeem all souls, past, present, and future, all the whole world. And in fact, when I meditated on the Passion of the Lord, there's not one meditation in that 24-hour Passion that Jesus did not mention about reparation. The purpose of our uniting our sufferings to Jesus is to repair. It seems to me that this whole Passion, the Lord was doing reparations for all the sins. And in fact, there was a meditation where he asked the Father, I want to be beaten more. I want to suffer more. I want to have more wounds so there will be enough more rooms for all souls to be repaired. So in my meditation and my inspiration and my sort of kind of like my hope is that by joining my sufferings this Lent, especially in this Holy Week, special week, is to unite as I read the Passion. I make it my own. I ask Jesus, Lord, read in my reading, think in my thinking. As I'm processing the thoughts, I'm meditating, I ask the Lord to meditate this in me so that my mind becomes the Lord's mind. And it's difficult for us to understand in our human mind, but with the faith that the Lord can do that. As I was, you know, an hour ago, I was meditating on the crucifixion, particularly when he offered himself at Mass, because it is so united. You know, the sacrifice he offered to the Mass is exactly what happened with the Lord's Passion. So I sat and meditated more on that. And I asked myself, okay, Lord, here you are, the priest. You are the priest who offered the sacrifice, and yet you are the sacrifice. How can that be? He is the priest. At the same time, he is the sacrificial lamb. Only God can do that. So I ask myself, it is therefore possible that when I read the Passion and when I feel all the emotions as I'm reading the Passion, as my intellect started to understand what I'm reading in the Passion, and therefore I'm understanding more the depths of his pain. I don't claim to be able to understand it fully, but I sometimes feel pain in my heart and compassion for Jesus. And that to me are these little gifts that the Lord allowed me. And I believe that it is Jesus in me, redoing all the Passion in me, through me. I am nothing. I am just an empty vessel. Not that I am an empty vessel that doesn't have any value. I am an empty vessel in a sense that the Lord can fill me in. And even that, I become one with him. So as empty as when in our human mind, we think of a vessel as useless. Okay, so the Lord fills me in. And then once he's finished, he lets go. And then the vessel, you know, doesn't have any value anymore. No, 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 no. That's not what I meant. The Lord created us apart from ordinary other creation. We are created, sanctified, holy, all of us, our flesh, our vessel. And that's what happens to our Blessed Mother. When she was created pure so that she becomes the worthy vessel of the coming of the Lord. So the same thing with us. So when I'm reading the Passion, I put in my mind, Jesus thinking in me, praying in me, feeling in me, everything that I am, including my breathing. I can hear my breathing sometimes, my heartbeat. And I said, was Jesus' heart beating in me? Is Jesus breathing in me? Everything in me is God. And so that's how I try to live in the divine will. And like Mother said, we read and we understand this is what's happening and we put it into action. You know, we don't always remember all the time, but every time the Lord reminds us, we need to make an effort to do that. And I would like to share with you a little passage here because it's Palm Sunday and the Holy Spirit led me to this today. It was a surprise because I didn't know where to find for the Palm Sunday, but the Holy Spirit led me to April 16, 1905. Suffering is reigning. And so we talk about suffering. Mother theme earlier was about suffering. And Jesus tells Louisa and to us, my daughter, it is the world that drives this nail deep inside my heart, giving me a continuous death. So by justice, just as they give me continuous death, I will allow that they give death among themselves, killing one another like many dogs. Now, this is really, really sad, isn't it? It's very painful. But then God allows this for what? To destroy us? No. God allows this to give us even greater gifts, because through these crosses, through our sufferings, we can turn this around, bring us to repentance. And that's the hope, that it can cause conversions to all of us. And if we look at history, when we had the 9/11 and all the COVID, people tend to go back to the church. They realize that we are not that powerful as we thought we are. So crosses are good. It brings goodness to all of us, to some of us who are open to conversion. And then the Lord continues, today is the day of palms in which I was proclaimed king. All must aspire to a kingdom, but in order to acquire the eternal kingdom, it is necessary for the creature to acquire the regime of herself through the dominion of her passions. The only means is suffering, because suffering is reigning. That is, through patience, man puts himself in his place, becoming king of himself and of the eternal kingdom. So we are called to be the king of ourselves, of our own passion. So God wants us to participate in his work, and that requires our participation, active participation, not passive, active participation by using with our human will to choose God, to will to choose goodness, to will to choose not to sin, to will to choose everything for God, with God, and in God. So I will continue to pray for everybody, for all of us, and encourage everybody. This living in the divine will is actually easy, and this is what the 36th volume said, but it's also hard. What makes it easy is because we're not doing it. It's God doing it in us. That's very easy. But why is it hard? Because we are proud, and we tend to not trust God enough. We tend to trust only ourselves, and we are attracted to things that make us feel good, which is comfort, all the things that feeds our pride, all the things that feeds our human will, what our human desires, which is basically through our flesh. You know, we watched the movie Nefarious, and it the devil there says that the devil cannot possess the soul, but he can only possess the flesh. So we have to be very careful and be mindful of what our flesh is asking us to do. And Mother mentioned about the possession earlier. One of the readings she said, and be sure possession that the soul has of God. So when we desire to be possessed by God, God will possess us. And our soul, not only our soul, but our body as well, can be possessed by God. If it is possible for the devil to possess man, it should be so much easier for God to possess man if we desire it. Now, how can the devil possess man? He cannot possess the soul, but he can possess the flesh. How is that? By his consent, by doing little sins at a time. You know, the devil is very cunning. He's not going to tell you, obviously, he's going to start with little lies, with little, like Ouija board, all innocent things that we do that we don't even think sinful. That's how he can possess us. So with God, God can possess us by also doing this in baby steps. You know, we have to go back to his divine will. Little by little, we have to read, practice little by little, and be patient with ourselves. And who knows, maybe we can achieve that high rank of divine will, whatever, but we shouldn't be focused on that. We should only be focused on God and not so much with ourselves. Our desire should only be to love God with all of our hearts, with all our minds, with our souls, and nothing else, for his glory, honor, and praise.
Amen. You know, Sister, you mentioned about the empty vessel and basically us being nothing. If you look at the compilation called The Nothingness of the Soul, it's really interesting because you'll find that we're called nothing and everything, sort of in the same breath. And you say, well, how can I be everything and be nothing at the same time? I guess the easy equation for that would be we are nothing without God and we are everything with God. And we really can't explain that. And that also reminds me of Pope Benedict when he gave a speech to the bishops. I don't have the date. Again, he was addressing a group of bishops. He said, quote, this is very divine willish too. God is wrapping up everything. 6,000 years of assistance through grace is now being organized and explained by God himself so as to define unequivocally truth, the truth and nothing but the truth, not through man. Man must realize he cannot explain everything, end quote. We must leave it to the mystical gifts, the mystery of the mysticism that is in each and every one of us. It's here. It's just been deactivated since the fall of Adam, and God now is activating. And I think it's Bergson, a French philosopher in the 1700s, that stated, it's the words of the mystics that enliven and awaken the mystical life in our soul, end quote. That's what God's doing, right? Shaking us. Some he has to shake less violently. Some he has to knock down like me, but he's shaking us because he has to get our attention. Sister?
I just would like to add one more. I forgot that even our very own desires to sin, so most of that actually, why do we desire these sinful things? It is because we're looking for something greater than us. We're looking for something that is lovable. We're looking for love. And unfortunately, we are looking them in the wrong places. So in a way, when we think about the Lord on the cross, he said, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. So many times when we choose to sin, it is because we just don't understand. We don't know that we are seeking God, but we're seeking him in the wrong places. And Mother corrected me a while ago, which I'm so grateful. I did mention earlier about the possession of the soul, that the devil cannot possess the soul, but only the flesh. And Mother said that she, Mother, you can explain it better.
Yeah, I think he can possess a soul, but at some cases where he just possessed the body, like Emily Rose, a lady, I think, appeared to her. She was from Germany. They have a shrine. They were trying to beatify her, but because something came out in the exorcism about a bishop that did something wrong in Germany, they didn't want to beatify her. But they do have a shrine for her. Our Lady appeared and asked if she'd be a victim soul, and she gave her fiat and said yes. And her victimhood was to be possessed physically, not in her soul. And the devil would not let her eat. He controlled her body. She could not eat. She wanted to eat. And there's a part in the movie where it shows her eating dead roaches on the floor that the devil would allow her to do that. So she actually starved to death. And right before, not long before she died, Our Lady asked if she would be willing to live a little longer and suffer a little longer for souls. And she said yes. So she suffered a little longer, but she was never possessed in the soul, only in the body. That was her victimhood. So there are people, if you fool around with evil things, like Sister mentioned, Ouija boards or witchcraft or going to fortune teller, you can eventually, little by little, get possessed in the soul, you know. And even children have been possessed in the soul by fooling with these evil things, you know. So, yeah, we have to protect ourselves from all these evil things and live our lives totally for God. And to be free from all of that. But, you know, horoscopes, Ouija boards, tarot cards, all these different things, Scientology, different things you can get involved in that little by little, the devil can get in and possess your soul eventually.
Mother, even when that happens, Mother, there is hope, because even when the soul is possessed by the devil, at the very last breath, when the soul chooses God, the devil still loses.
Well, there's hope. There was a satanic priest. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Became a saint. He became a Catholic priest eventually. Anybody remembers it?
Zachary?
What's his?
Zachary?
Anyway, Zachary? There was. He became a saint. I can't remember his name right now, but he was.
Bartolongo? Bartolongo.
Yes. So, you know, yes, you can do it, even if a person's possessed in the soul. We've gone to Medjugorje many times, especially when they raise a blessed sacrament and bless the people with it at the adoration. Demons come screaming out of people. Now, those people don't even know what they're doing, because they can be very beautiful people. Some of them just possessed in the body, some of them in the soul. But I remember seeing one girl. She was lovely, smiling, very nice, very happy, looked very stable and sane. And then when they were blessing her, she began to manifest spirits and bad spirits, and she was on the floor like wiggling like a snake. And then when she was finished, she got up and she didn't even know that she did that. So that might be possession in the body. I don't know. It's hard to understand these things because right. It's so foreign to us, you know. But just to say, just don't fool around with evil things so that you will never have anything to do with the demons. You know, if you don't think about, you know, you think about God, don't think about him, mm-hmm. you know, don't give him that kind of credit that you're worried about the devil or thinking about him throughout the day. Just focus on God, focus on positive things, make your life a very positive life, and you're going to be living it with God. He's the author of positive thoughts and words, and the devil is the author of negative words and thoughts. So amen. Live with God and be positive about everything.
That's right. But I do blame Sister Magdalena. She mentioned about looking for love in all the wrong place. And I can't get that song out of my head. Now, looking for love in all the wrong place. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to give up my day job. If I can sing, I'd be dangerous. But yeah, it's true. It's very true. Looking for love. And that's maybe when we ask our Lord, too, to keep us free, especially after confession, to keep us free from even that near occasion of sin. Because again, like you said earlier, one of the sisters said, Satan is waiting for that crack. Just so we can just enter and destroy us. So we have to be crackless. We cannot show those cracks. And if we have them, we have to ask our Lord to mend them. And you know, when he tells us, Mother, in the volumes, he says, the two greatest things I can do for you is to make you more aware of who I am and to make us more aware of who we are. Because if you think about it, if we know who we are, we can observe and recognize our defects. And then we know where we have to work. And we can't rely on our friends most times to do that. Because again, if we're golfing too much, we can't count on our golfing buddies to say, hey, yeah, Pete, you're golfing too much. I don't golf at all. Or our drinking buddies, you can't, hey, you know, Pete, you're drinking too much. They're not going to tell us that those tough love, those hard facts. So God is going to open up our eyes to where we need work. And that's where we have to ask for his blessing to strengthen those cracks. Mother.
A lot of people go to those things, whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, because they're struggling interiorly. They're looking for compensation. They're looking for gratification. They're looking for to be consoled. So that's where the cross comes in. Rather than to be consoled, you desire to suffer that cross, whatever it may be, loneliness, whatever. But people give into their passions, and it only causes more crosses in their lives. When they give into what they want, especially it could be overeating, overdrinking, taking drugs, having sex outside of marriage, in the wrong ways, you know, it's only going to destroy your life. You know, are you going to suffer the cross at those moments and forego those consolations that you're looking for? And pray instead and asking Our Lady. Our Lady is the great intercessor. All graces come through her. Ask her for the grace to withstand all these vices when you're struggling from anything, whether it's depression or loneliness or anything.
That's right. You can never leave Our Lady out of the equation. Hello, sister.
Hi. It's good to be back with all of you. And yeah, it's just been really beautiful as we're entering into the Passion Week and Holy Week now. To be able to reflect with Jesus on the ways that he's calling us to suffer with him and to suffer in him and through him. And just opening up from volume 11, August 14th, Jesus is talking to Louisa about being a prop for souls to lean on. And this is a little bit about what he shares. He says, "My daughter, my passion, my wounds, my blood, everything I did and suffered are in continuous act in the midst of souls, as if I were operating and suffering at this very moment. They serve as props on which I can lean and props on which souls can lean so as not to fall into sin and be saved." And so I think that just goes with what we were sharing too about the protection that Jesus has over us and the God the Father with all the angels and saints and Our Lady, especially, and Saint Joseph, to bring us in him and through the divine will, especially to see ourselves as we are and to just continue to be living in the light and in the love that God has for us. And what better way than to always be meditating on Jesus's passion and the great love that he continues to pour out, as he says to Louisa, that even though his humanity now is, since he's the head of the church, we are his body, we are the ones that we get to cooperate with the sufferings that he has already suffered and is suffering in and with and through us. So it becomes more real the more that we focus on his suffering and focus on what he's sharing with us through these writings, especially too. It's like Mother was sharing, like many mystics, many saints have shared about the passion of Christ before, and it's helped us to unite to his humanity in that. But now we get to unite with his divinity in the passion and see how even he felt, you know, forsaken. And he says that in the Psalm, you know, forsaken by the Father, and just that paradox of even though he is Jesus and he's God, he's God-man, he experienced what it is like to be, in a sense, he experienced what hell is like to be without God, and to be suffering in a, such a dark way, in the like, most cruel way through the crucifixion. But I just think about too, when he shares to Louisa with Our Lady sharing this too about in the womb and how he was suffering in the womb, as a prisoner of love for us in that darkness and in that immobility. And so I'm sure there are many people who are facing crosses of different kinds, physical, spiritual, emotional, psychological. And this can be a way that Jesus is inviting us into, offering these sufferings, these beautiful gifts that, yeah, many of the saints who would, if they could come back to earth, would want to suffer more. I think that was like St. Teresa of Avila, sharing that. And just, so yeah, just a reminder of, how much our sufferings, when they are done in love with Jesus, that they can help save souls. And the call to be, we were just talking about victimhood and the call that Jesus invites us into being his victims of the divine will. And a powerful way that we can do this is through dedicating our lives to each moment, the best of our ability, obviously, to remind ourselves of the gift it is to live in his will and to sacrifice our wills, our human wills, in union with his divine will, to help not only save our souls, but those of our family, our friends, people who are maybe opposed to the divine will right now with everything going on, just kind of seeing the spiritual battle that the church is in, that the world is facing, the darkness, the confusion. We can be those beacons of light and love with Jesus, to help share about, yeah, just how much he loves us. And with this gift, how much he wants us in heaven way more than we do. So it's just very powerful.
You know, sister, really quickly, I don't need to interrupt you, but with your reflection, I just had a thought. You know, maybe this, we're in Holy Week now. Maybe, again, sometimes I'll be honest, sometimes I need motivation because I'm trying to do a little bit of everything and sort of everyone's trying to like grab that disposable time. But one thing we can perhaps think about to help us get motivated is let's go back to Louisa's first encounter with our Blessed Lord. And our Lord had just a few words for her, actually three. He looked at her and said, quote, soul, help me, end quote. So if we think and reflect on that, perhaps that'll help us compassionate this week for the suffering of our Lord. Yes, we can never take the full place of what he did. We can never suffer like he did. But even if we can do it to the best of our ability, again, God says he'll fill the void. You have an ardent desire to do something, do it the best to your ability, and he'll do the rest for us and give us credit if we did. So I think that's one way. Soul, help me. And if that doesn't resonate, if that doesn't move us, stir us inside, I don't know what else would. Sister?
Just telling him that you love him throughout the day is helping him.
That's right.
Consoling him. How else can we console him? He just wants our love. You know, whatever way you can show him that love is consolation to him because he loves you so much.
Right. For every spat he received, we give him an I love you to sort of neutralize it and wipe it from his body. It's beautiful. You're right. And that he's giving us that opportunity in real time, in a real divine mode.
And it's not just words. You really mean it from your heart. He knows your motives. He knows your innermost intentions. So
Can't pretend to God. We can't fool God like we fool our friends and maybe our spouses. I'm not advocating we should do that, but I'm just saying he can't be fooled. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Right, Sister Jacinta? Would you agree? I think your microphone's off. Or maybe it's not working. Is that the one we have to send back?
Yeah. Right, maybe that didn't work, but okay. So true. Jesus knows everything. And the beauty about like knowing the divine will and reading the 24 hours of the Passion is that you can be there with Jesus making reparation for all souls past, present, and future who have not, who are not, and who will not love Jesus. And then it's so important to run to Mother Mary like St. John the Apostle did and just cling to Mother Mary and say, Mama Mary, you know, like take me to Jesus. And so it's so important to stay close to Our Lady. And Our Lady suffered too. She suffered like so much. Like she it was just very painful. And we can also make reparation for all the offenses against the Immaculate Heart of Mary too, because the people on the cross on Good Friday, they didn't only insult Jesus, they also insulted Mother Mary. And I'd also like to read today from Volume 6, September 26, 1904. And Jesus explains that to us through Louisa, that all the pains that Jesus suffered in his passion were a triple. And then when I was reading this, I was thinking like, nothing is a coincidence. Like God allows everything for a reason. It's like today for Holy Mass this morning, for example, it was 12 of us here with, including like Father and the brothers. And we were thinking about like the 12 apostles. And then it's like so many other symbolisms that we can see all throughout the scriptures, like 40 days of fasting in the desert, like the Israelites, like 40 years in the desert. And I think it's just really cool, like that numerology and like how like and even how like numbers have a significance. I think it's just really cool. So making himself seen, he said, my daughter, not only was the crowning with thorns triple, but almost all the pains I suffered in my passion were triple. Triple were the 3 hours of agony in the garden. Triple was the scourging, as they scourged me with 3 different types of lashes. 3 times did they strip me, and as many as 3 times was I condemned to death, at nighttime, early in the morning, and in broad daylight. Triple were my falls under the cross, triple the nails. 3 times did my heart pour out blood, in the garden by itself, and the act of the crucifixion from its very center. When I was stretched while on the cross, so much so that my body was all dislocated, and my heart was smashed inside and poured out blood, and after my death, when my side was opened with a lance, triple were the 3 hours of agony on the cross. If one wanted to ruminate on everything, oh, how many triples he would find. And this was not by chance, but everything was so because of divine disposition to render the glory due to the Father complete, as well as the reparation owed to him by creatures and the good to be earned for creatures themselves. In fact, the greatest good that the creature has received from God was being created in his image and likeness and endowed with 3 powers, intellect, memory, and will. And there is no sin that the creature commits in which these 3 powers do not concur. So she stains and disfigures the beautiful divine image that she contains within herself, using the gift to offend the giver. And I, in order to restore this divine image in the creature and to give God all the glory that the creature owed him, concurred with all my intellect, memory, and will, in a special way with these triples suffered by me, in order to render both a glory due to the Father and the good which was necessary for creatures complete. So we see here Jesus explains to Louisa why there are so many like triples during his passion, and it's to make reparation for all the times that man has sinned with his intellect, memory, and will. And the more we strive to live in the divine will, doing like acts around the divine will, the more we fuse our intellect, memory, and will with Jesus's intellect, memory, and will, just wanting what Jesus wants, then in that way, we also console Jesus for all these times throughout history, past, present, and future, that mankind has stripped away themselves from God.
So true, so true. You know, I was thinking also, you know, if you read the introduction, it's really beautiful, the introduction to the Hours of the Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ, written by St. Hannibal, he gives us a really great, again, simple explanation. I just like to read these 2 quick paragraphs, if I may. Quote, "Divine providence, which at all times comes forth some souls to know, some to love, and to inspire others to know and love him, has called forth the soul, Louisa, who has consecrated herself to the sufferings of the Divine Redeemer. The special inspiration received by this soul offers a new and very profitable method for contemplating the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. This method allows for us to recall to mind, one by one, the 24 hours spanning from 5 p.m. on the Holy Thursday to 5 p.m. of Good Friday, and it helps us to meditate hour by hour on what Jesus sequentially suffered during these 24 hours. He says, quote, "I call this method new, not because it limits the sufferings of Jesus to a time span of 24 hours, but because its unique form, feelings, and objectives open the way to a totally new approach," end quote. So this, again, is another one of those examples of Article 66 of our Catholic Catechism, which states, no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, but it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given. So now, through the gift of the divine will, through the hours of the Passion, we are learning more about our Lord's suffering in and out and what we can do to compassionate it. Again, it's new, but it was always there. Mother, sister?
Like, I can see it in the TV. It's like when, like before I see it, like before it was just like, okay, I want to pray and understand the sufferings of the Lord. And with these new revelations of Louisa through Louisa and the divine will, it's more clear, like, how now you can fuse yourself and suffer those pains, not only as an exterior person outside the situation of the pains of Jesus, but in him, and also in Our Lady, and also in Mary Magdalene, she was really faithful to Jesus, staying like watching and experiencing all the pains of Our Lady. We need to be really like grateful of this new way of entering into Jesus's Passion, because it's more deep into it. It is not just like, oh, I wanna just be with you. It's more intimate. And I feel like since my conversion came through this book, and it was really special, and it's really special for me because it's the only way that I guess the Lord like wake me up when I was really blind. I'm so like attached to this book, which I guess is a good attachment because it's all about him. And it's literally like really special because you also start forgetting a lot about yourself, like how your sufferings are nothing compared to what he suffered. And you have the opportunity of now entering into this passion and fusing your pains and your sufferings with his pains, which in reality, what I understand is just the echo of his sufferings in us every time that we suffer. Not only, and I will say it's more spiritually than physically. And that's why I guess the new chastisements are going to be worse, not totally physically, but more spiritually, because we are body and soul. And I guess the Lord have tried to like awaken us through the flesh, but we are still stubborn. So now is that spiritual darkness that unfortunately the man needs to go through to wake up, but I guess there's nothing to be afraid of if you are in totally communion with your Creator and if you trust in him, because it's like one time Sister Magdalena mentioned, like, your refuge is the divine will. And that's where you're going to find your peace. And I've recently been reading the letters of Louisa and through different people. And how she always states that you need to be at peace, because if you're not at peace, you're like blocking the sun, which is the sun of the divine will. And if blocking those rays, it's like you are just thinking on yourself, reflecting on yourself, and you lose the opportunity of the Son of the Divine Will to shine on you and to transform you. So I guess the Divine Will, for me, one of the key words to live in the Divine Will is total peace, abandonment, and trusting in Jesus is what he most appreciates from the soul when you want that relationship with him. And I want to share from volume 11, November 18, 1913. And he's talking about how the human will and the divine will are opposed and one's form the cross of the other. "I was thinking about my poor state and how even the cross had been banished from me.
And in my interior, Jesus told me, my daughter, when two wheels are opposed to each other, one forms the cross of the other. So it is between me and the creatures. When their wheels are opposed to mine, I form their cross and they form mine. I am the long beam of the cross, while they are the short one. And crossing each other, they form the cross. Now, when the will of the soul unites with mine, the beams are no longer crossed, but united, and therefore the cross is no longer a cross. Have you understood? And besides, I sanctify the cross. It was not the cross that sanctified me. It is not the cross that sanctifies. It is a resignation to my will that sanctifies the cross. Therefore, even the cross can do as much good insofar as it is connected with my will. Not only this, the cross sanctifies and crucifies part of the person, while my will does not spare anything. It sanctifies everything and crucifies thoughts, desires, will, affections, heart, everything. And since my will is light, it shows to the soul the necessity of this sanctification and complete crucifixion in such a way that she herself incites me to accomplish the crafting of my will upon her. So it's like, to me, it makes more sense every single part of the Catholic Church. Like how since 2000 years ago or even more, we have been talking about the cross and the pains and suffering, and how it's just so special to offer them up to the Lord for the peace of the world, and et cetera, et cetera. But now it's something more. It's like now you understand, and the Lord is showing to you how everything exists because of his will. So it makes sense why he's asking you to abandon yourself, because the cross is like a symbol that is really important. And I mean, we as Catholics, we are known to have always like crucifixes in our rosaries or crucifixes on like necklaces, etc. But now it's more like amazed how this cross is something else, like how Mother was saying in the beginning, how in the cross all souls were married to him, like he took each one of our souls to put us in that cross for that perfect unity, which is the marriage with the Lamb. In some point, like you are married to him, everybody and every single one of us. And also how only through sufferings you are transformed. And it's like, if you want to be a good Catholic and really accompany Jesus, you need to go through the sufferings. Why? Because he suffered for you. And since he is God and he was willing to suffer for us, it wouldn't make sense if we didn't want his sufferings. It's like so selfish to not want his sufferings. And as how I said earlier, it's not everything about physical sufferings, like, oh, I have a back pain or, oh, I have a headache. It's more like a interior suffering that he's calling us to abandon and fuse into his sufferings, because this book is telling us more about his interior sufferings, not only his physical sufferings, which the soul is more important than the body. And that's why I guess we need to go back to this thinking of the passions, because when you stop thinking about the passion, you stop loving him. Like, you just think about yourself, and the more you think about yourself, the more you put distance between you and your creator. So the cross is always been the first thing ever that Catholics are called to experience and to live and to love. And the more you think about him, the more you forget about yourself, and the more you fuse your sufferings with him, you will see the merits and the promises that he brings to you. And he's even so merciful to us that he doesn't even give us like a huge like suffering that you will not be able to endure. So I'll say, like, don't complain, just live how he wants you to live. If a suffering comes to you, if it is too like painful for you, don't pound yourself on the imperfections, because we are humans and we are full of imperfections and of all these weaknesses, but he will substitute for you. So that's the hope. Like, if you didn't say fiat at that moment, he will substitute for you. But if you recognize that you didn't say it, you just, like Daniel O'Connor the other said, mentioned about how in the divine will, you can take all the moments of your from the past of your life and every single suffering that you might have said no to it, and just put the fiat at each one of them and then give them back to Jesus, so that it's like if you never deny it. So this is just beautiful. So you should take advantage really of what it means to live in a divine will and be courageous, how Jesus wants us to be courageous, and be brave and be faithful to him, which is the best thing that you can do.
Amen. Yeah, what Daniel was talking about there too is it's really filling our voids. Remember, we have to fill all those voids, those missed opportunities to give glory and honor to God on the level of God. We must fill all those before we can enter into heaven. You know, another thing you mentioned too, sister, was really important, that huge delineation between physical suffering and spiritual suffering. Now, physical suffering, some will be called to, and that's typically localized. Like my arm is broken, my leg is broken. You know, you can pinpoint where it is, but the rest of the body is relatively unaffected. But spiritual suffering is so much worse because it engulfs every cell of our body. It's total, total, and there's no escape from it. And that's why probably it's the most painful. And that's the again, the souls in purgatory, which are experiencing that. And again, one of those things that they mentioned too, I think Mother was alluding to it, about if they had to do anything over again, what they would have done. They would have come back. One of the things they said was they would have come back and lived making better use of the time they had. They would have cut down on the frivolousness, on the things that are unimportant, not important. So that's something we can actually use to our advantage. We can now take what they said and put it into practice. Also the saints, again, if they had any quasi-regrets, it would be not having more time living so in order to suffer, because again, they recognize the value. We have all these things we can grab, all these intelligences we can grab. Adam and Eve, poor Adam and Eve, they had nobody who went before them that either fell or was successful. So they had no one to benchmark it off. They're all on their own. And even though they had omniscience, they knew the end result of their actions. I think, again, that's one of the mysterious also. They didn't know the full extent of it. But again, we have all this. And Jesus says, 6,000 years, I've given you everything you need, all the help, all the wrenches, all the tools, just have to use them. But they're all there. And they're all in our Catholic Church. Mother?
Time to be alive, because we know more than even the apostles
That's
knew.
Right.
I mean, all the dogmas had been proclaimed in the church had to mature for God to give this great gift to the world. Now the church had to go through all these centuries of maturing and teaching, and now we have all the so many dogmas. There's more of Our Lady, of course, to be proclaimed, the mediatrix and co-redemptrix of all graces, and mediatrix of all graces and co-redemptrix. But you know, right now we know so much more than all the Christians of the past. People are literate now, they can read. So now God gave us the divine will at this moment in history when everybody can read it. And with internet's used for a lot of bad things, pornography and different things. I mean, people get addicted to from the computer, get addicted just using it, you know, rather than spending their time with God. But you know, it's useful. It's used for good things too. We can spread the divine will. We can send the volumes all over the world in different languages. So this is a great time to be alive, and we have this great gift. We don't want to lose it. We don't want to take it for granted. We want to get the most out of it. You want to share
something? Right. You know, real quickly, St. John Paul II wrote an encyclical on basically the proper use of media, and that really was one of the things that spurred us on. So yes, just to your point, Mother, the other side can use the internet for nefarious reasons. We can offset that. We can checkmate that by using it for good. And we encourage everyone to do that. Mother, sisters.
Yeah, our Lord said he would come again when the gospel is preached around the world. And through EWTN, which, you know, they're preaching the gospel even in the North Pole and South Pole, 24 hours a day, the gospel's gone around the world. So, and with internet and sharing the divine will and all these beautiful programs on the internet, you know, we are spreading the gospel around the world. It used to be evangelists had to travel. They had to go places. Now we can spread things without going anywhere. Sitting in your house, you can be talking to the world, you know. So it's a great gift, you know, these things that God has given us in this day, in our day now, that we can spread the gospel, teach through these different instruments that he's given us.
Yeah, speaking of evangelization, just for some of you who may not know, but I just came back from a home visit in the Philippines, and I had the privilege of meeting divine will groups in my own hometown. And I've never expected, you know, speaking of evangelization, all these tools that the modern times has allowed us to spread the divine will all over the world. And so when I came back, I had an opportunity to speak to divine will cenacles there and some priests and even the bishop. And of course, it's new to them. So they had so many questions. And in some of these questions, it seems kind of like me back then when I just encountered the divine will. You know, I was doubting a little bit, you know, like this is too good to be true. And I think that's probably what they were thinking. So I will just briefly describe to you one of the things that were asked to me while I was there, which becomes an obstacle for now until, you know, obviously, you know, we pray for them and hopefully there will be an enlightenment and increase in knowledge. But one of the questions they asked was that this is just too much because, you know, how could the Lord ask us to be suffering so much? It's like they cannot believe that there's so much suffering and then there's no involvement of the human will, that the Lord seems to be like power hunger, like, oh, it's all the divine will. You need to get rid of your human will. And obviously that is a misunderstanding. And so I just would like to say something a little bit about the mother can help me if it's not so clear, but I basically what I would like to share for those who may have encountered the same questions is that it's not, the Lord is not like Sister Faustina, he's not asking for us to chase after suffering. We don't go look for suffering. It's accepting what the Lord is sending to us. And for priests, for example, aren't you, when you said yes to the Lord, when you say no to marriage and become priest, isn't that already dying to yourself? That is dying to your human will to possess the world in order to leave that and to follow Christ's calling to the church. The same thing with our vocations. I for myself, I had to say yes. And it was not easy for me to let go of my career, of my life in the world. It was beautiful. It was to the point where even I could justify everything, that this was better than entering a community religious life, to where it seems nothing but pray all day long. And what good can it do? You know? So in other words, you know, in all aspects of our lives, for those who are called to marriage, the same thing, you know, we don't have to look after suffering, but accepting what it is. And so when they think that the Lord wants all suffering, no, it is not. It is white martyrdom, which is, according to Our Lady, is the suffering of our sufferings, is to not give life to our human will. You know, so basically, you know, that's the gist of it. And then also this thing about we cannot have our human will. It's all about divine will, and it's like power, God is power tripping. No, it is not. We have the freedom to choose our human will to do what is right and what's good. That's already what we're doing in the church. It is not against the teaching of the church. This is living in the divine will. The teachings of the divine will is totally in accordance with the teaching of the church, the suffering and white martyrdom and all that.
Sister, did I understand you correctly? Did you say marriage is suffering? Is that what you said?
No, I think all vocations is called for suffering. I mean, if I only want to marry because I want to avoid suffering, then I can be lying to myself and I could be deceived. Right.
Well, yeah, because, you know, maybe, and you can't run into religious life because you want to avoid this crosses of merit life, you know, because every life you got to be purified, no matter right. what life. God loves us enough to purify us, no matter what life we he's called us to, whether it's a single life, a merit life, religious life, because God's going to prune you and purify you. Single people, maybe in their working situations, maybe loneliness, as they get older, no children or husband or wife to take care of them. So, you know, every life has its crosses, but we have to embrace the cross. And how do we embrace the cross? You know, we're talking about the cross here and suffering, but I think the only way you're going to get to total resignation of the cross is, like I always say every time I'm on this program, do acts and rounds and divine will. Really mean those acts and rounds and divine will. Really realize what's happening when you do that. It's a divine act. It's God doing something within you. Even your rounds, when you're putting your I love yous on things, on all of creation, all of redemption, all of sanctification, it's not you putting your I love yous on there. You desire to put the I love you on those things. Jesus puts them on there for you. And because he does it for you, like I said before, we're like little babies. We can't do anything without him. Because he puts it on there for you, it becomes a divine I love you. But he gives it to you as if it's your own, but he does it for you. And that I love you that he put on those things that you're requesting, that he puts it on for you, will shout out to the Eternal Father from all eternity, from you, I love you, God, I love you, God, I love you, God. Never comes to an end. Because every divine act and every divine round has no beginning, no end. It's eternal. So I think we're going to die to ourselves. We're going to become resigned to these little crosses we have to experience. You know, our crosses are very minor compared to what Jesus suffered. He was sinless. He didn't deserve what he got. We're sinners. We deserve much worse than what we get. Even if it's persecution you're getting, realize that you deserve worse than what you're getting. So jump for joy and realize you're not getting really what you deserve. Somebody talks against you, or you got a relative that's done you in. You got a husband or a wife that's been unfaithful to you. You know, that's the cross. You have to bear the cross. Die to yourself. Jump for joy. Thank and praise God that he's allowing you to suffer this cross, whatever it may be. You got to deal with it in the way you best, you know, how to best deal with it. Yes. But in order to just spiritualize it, let Jesus come and suffer that cross within you. If you have a mate that's unfaithful, let Jesus come suffer that cross. That's a terrible cross. Let him come suffer that cross in you. You're gonna grow in holiness. You're gonna die to yourself little by little, you know. So we have to just keep on striving to do that. But I think it's the only way is to do the acts around the divine will. The only way you're gonna persevere and do an acts around the divine will is to read the volumes. You can go to a lot of talks, you can listen to a lot of things, but unless you read it, you're not gonna learn how to live in the divine will. It says in volume 9, November 20th, 1909. It says, one who takes the cross according to human views finds it muddy and therefore heavier and more bitter. On the other hand, one who takes the cross according to divine views finds it full of light, light and sweet. In fact, the human views are without grace, strength, and light. Therefore, she has the boldness to say, why did that person do that wrong to me? Why did this one cause me this displeasure, this calumny? And the soul fills herself with indignation, with anger, with revenge. And so the cross becomes muddy, dark, heavy, and bitter. On the other hand, the divine views are full of grace, of strength, and of light. Therefore, she does not have the boldness to say, Lord, why did you do this to me? On the contrary, she humbles herself, she resigns herself, and the cross becomes light and brings her light and sweetness. We cause ourselves to suffer more in the way we think of things, the way we look at things. If we look at them through the eyes of Jesus, and the only way we can do that, see everything through the eyes of Jesus, again, is to do acts and rounds in his divine will. Read the right writings. Learn how to live in his divine will. Learn what it means to live in his divine will. In volume 12, November 20th, 1918, our Lord says, in the one who does my will and lives in it, my love does not find obstruction. I love her and have so much predilection for her that I myself take care of all that is needed for her, both help and direction, both unforeseen aids and unexpected graces. Even more, I am jealous that others may do something. I myself want to do everything for her. I reach so much jealousy of love that if I give to priests the authority to consecrate me in the sacramental host so that I may be given to souls, I reserve myself the privilege to consecrate these souls as they keep repeating their acts in my will, as they resign themselves, and as they make the human will go out in order to let the divine will enter. What the priest does over the host, I do with them. And not only once, every time she repeats her acts in my will, she calls me as a powerful magnet, and I consecrate her like a privileged host, repeating over her the words of the consecration. So, you know, God says, our Lord says, when we do acts and round the divine will, we're forming divine lives. We become living hosts. We're forming divine lives. If you want to imagine it, little Jesus is all over wherever you're putting your I love yous. The life of Jesus and these things that you're calling him into. And this is real. How do you know it's real? You know, sometimes you might think it's too good to be true. How do we know it's real? By the way it's transforming your life. You judge everything by its fruit. Is your life changing? Are you seeing everyone through the eyes of Jesus? Are you falling in love with people more? Are you bearing with the cross more? Are you putting up with people and not letting things disturb you the same? You know, living in the divine will, you don't only become healthy spiritually, you become healthy physically and emotionally and psychologically too, because it changes your whole being. And you begin to see everyone through the eyes of Jesus. When that happens, you fall in love with everybody. People you don't even know, you see them, you just love them. You know, you have a kindred spirit with others. They're all your brothers and sisters. So, you know, we have to strive to do that more and more and more, realizing the goodness that's going to happen to you, all the good things that's going to happen as you allow God to relive his life in you. That's all he wants. He wants you to just call him in everything, to realize his presence within. You live in tabernacle. The Holy Trinity lives in your soul. Do you go within yourself thinking of him? Or are we thinking of ourselves most of the time? You know, every moment is so precious to God. We only have so many moments to live our lives. Eventually, each one of our lives will come to an end. Don't wait till the very end. Live it now. We told Louisa that every act and round you do in divine will is put into your bank in heaven. You got a bank account in heaven. People worry about getting a lot of money in their bank accounts on earth. The bank could crash. Things could close. You could lose all your money. But all the acts and rounds you do in divine will, you're getting richer and richer in your bank in heaven. When you get there, you're going to have many benefits given to you. You're not going to lose anything. Our Lord told Louisa, Adam and Eve, and some of the highest places in heaven. Why? Because everything they did before the fall was in his divine will. So they had a big bank account in heaven. All that they did when they got to heaven, it was all there for them. They became very wealthy. They didn't lose any of it. Even though they fell out of grace, they didn't lose what they had done before that time. So every act and round you do in divine will, calling God into everything you do, you're getting wealthier and wealthier. Your bank account in heaven is growing and growing. And even if you fall out of grace, you won't lose all that you did beforehand. So I encourage you just to read the volume so that you're encouraged on a daily basis to let him relive his life in you, everything you do throughout the day. And you're going to see how it transforms your soul. It gives you light, grace, gives you peace and joy. You know, so that's what we want to do, is just live our lives for him, to give him all that honor and glory that he deserves. And only he deserves it all. In volume 14, February 24th, 1922, says the cross of one who lives in the divine will becomes similar to the cross of Jesus. He says, my daughter, when I received the cross, I looked at it from top to bottom to see the place that each soul would take in my cross. So each of us, when you think about it, we crucified him. My sins crucified him. Your sins crucified him. We crucified Jesus. It says, among so many of them, I looked with more love and I paid a more special attention to those who would be resigned and would live in my will. I looked at them and I saw their cross, long and large, just as mine, because my will made up for all that their cross lacked, making it longer and larger like mine. Oh, how your long cross stood out. He's talking to Louisa here. So very long because of many years in bed and suffered only to fulfill my will. My cross existed only to fulfill the will of my celestial Father and yours to fulfill my will. One gave honor to the other. And since both of them had the same measure, they blended together. So our Lord embraced the cross. And you see that when you watch the Passion movie, which Mel Gibson took from, I think, Anne Catherine Emmerich's visions. He embraced the cross. He kissed the cross because he knew he loved us so much. This would be our salvation. Now, my will has the virtue of softening hardness, of soothing bitterness, of extending and enlarging short things. So when I felt the cross upon my shoulders, I felt the softness and the sweetness of the cross, of the souls who would suffer in my will. So when we suffer, don't waste that suffering. Ask him to suffer in your suffering. That's how you will suffer in his will. Ah, my heart heaved a sigh of relief, and the softness of the crosses of these souls made my cross adapt to my shoulders, sinking too much into it as to make me a deep wound. And although it gave me a sharp pain, I also felt the softness and the sweetness of the souls who would suffer in my will. And since my will is eternal, their suffering, their reparations, their acts ran within each drop of my blood, in each wound, in each offense. My will made them as though present at the offenses of the past, from the moment of that first man sinned up to the present and future offenses. They were the ones who returned to me the rights of my will. And for love of them, I decreed redemption. And if others enter into it, it is because of these souls that they partake in it. There is no good I concede, either in heaven or on earth, which is not because of them. So our Lord saw all of us, all of our sufferings, from all eternity. We existed from all eternity in the mind of God. Everything was present to God. Everything is present now to God. Our conception was present to God from all eternity. You know, so we always existed from all eternity, you know, in God's time, you know. We live in time. God is outside of time, you know, so he saw everything. He saw everything. We can now, when we do acts and rounds and divine will, we can even do rounds, rosary rounds. When you pray your rosary, you might be praying the Sorrowful Mysteries a lot this week because it's Holy Week. You know, you put your I love yous in everything and every aspect of each mystery. Put your I love you in the crucifixion, on Our Lady at the foot of the cross. And before you say every Hail Mary, you're doing a divine will rosary. You can do that. We used to go from person to person, sister to sister, with all the mysteries. So you have 20 mysteries all about the life of Christ. And you can put your I love you in every detail of this. Make it up as you go. And it can be different every day. You know, that's a beautiful way to do rounds and divine will, because so many times we forget to do the rounds. We have a little booklet that we to remind us just every do it like 15, 20 minutes a day. Rounds and divine will. But you know, if you don't do that, it's good to do it spontaneously. So when you're walking or driving a car, get in the habit of putting your I love yous in everything you see, and realizing when you do that, Jesus is putting the I love you. Really realize what's happening. It's not just words. Jesus is putting his I love you from you to the Father on all of these things that you're desiring him to put it on. So it's a great, immense thing that's happening. Luis used to say, I'm not doing anything. I'm doing nothing and doing acts around. He says, Luisa, you're doing everything, because he's doing it. When he does something, it becomes great. It becomes magnificent. So even the smallest little thing you're putting your I love you on, every bird that you see, it becomes a great thing because Jesus did it. And whatever he does is fantastic. It's amazing. There's no beginning, no end. It's eternal. So realize what's happening when you do an action round. And it's a big thing because Jesus is doing it, not you. You're just his little instrument, wanting him to do it. And he's doing it all for you. Right. Give him that opportunity.
And recognizing that all the creation is there to remind us of the glory of God. Again, we have no absence of opportunities. It's there every moment of every day. It's just beautiful. Mother, you also mentioned about the importance of reading and listening. And I think that's something that really needs to be talked about. We don't have time today to go into detail, but we can talk all day. We can hear from all the great teachers. And that's great. That really motivates us. It teaches us. But again, it's going to be teaching in a way that individual learned and understands. Each of us are going to understand this gift. Again, it's not a matter of truth, not truth, but we're going to understand a little differently. We're going to see a different hue of the color. Like if it's blue, I may see navy blue. You see powder blue. Someone sees aquamarine. We're all in the same family. But it's when we read and listen, we're actually giving the ultimate teachers, which are Jesus and Mary, to speak in our hearts, to expound upon the vernacular of English or whatever language we're really reading, and then thus giving us the language of heaven, the real definition behind those words. So I think that's really important to use. And again, if God has made these volumes available to us, he's expecting us to read it. That's really the way I feel. Mother, a few more moments. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I just encourage everybody during this Holy Week to really meditate on the Passion. Read the Passion book. It's going to change your life. You know, our Lord, many of the saints became very holy with just meditating on the Passion. So it's a great opportunity for you to grow in holiness as you realize what he suffered for you, for your sins, and realize how much he loves you because he went through so much to save your soul, to make you a great saint. Doesn't want to just save your soul. He wants to make you a great saint. He wants you to be very close to him in heaven for all eternity. And you all can do it. Ask Our Lady's help during this week to meditate on the Passion, to realize what he went through for you. Pray a lot this week. Spend your time. The Triduum is coming up. Good Friday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. You know, I was just thinking of Mother Angelica when she died. I wasn't there. I was living in Italy at the time, but they told me that on Good Friday, she suffered terribly. They could hear her crying from the end of the hall, and we have a big monastery in Hansville. She was going through an agony, and Mother never complained. Mother suffered all her life, but I never knew of her to complain. And so she was in torture. She was going through a Passion. Holy Saturday, she was very quiet. and Easter Sunday she died. So how much God blessed Mother Angelica, even letting her go through the Triduum as he did, suffering on Good Friday. And then on Easter Sunday, she rose. She went to heaven. I know she went to heaven. So God was good to her. God used Mother in many ways. And, you know, I know she's a saint, and I think we should pray to her and ask her intercession. She understands the divine will. She's in heaven, everybody in heaven. And they're living totally in divine will, in purgatory too. They're in divine will. And so she understands, and she will intercede for you to help you live through your own little passion, whatever God is calling you to suffer during this time.
Amen. I actually forgot about the timeline of Mother Angelica's death. Thank you for reminding us on that, Mother. Okay, so Mother, I think one of the things I'm thinking about is soul help me. I'm going to try to relive that and to think about that during this week. Another thing also I'd like to do, I like to ask for the grace of wisdom. Because wisdom really, it converts that which is in the intellect into what we need. And I'd like to just spend 2 minutes, I promise. I know we're up past time. But it's actually, it's embodied in charity. I'm going to start with this. Volume 4, October 29th, 1900. Jesus said, quote, "The most essential and necessary thing in a soul is charity. If there is no charity, it happens as if to those families or kingdoms which have no rulers, everything is upset." Okay, so that's charity. Then I was looking at the Catechism of the Summa of St. Thomas Aquinas. And this is, I think it's chapter 7, of the gift of wisdom, which corresponds to charity. And it goes on. Is there a gift of the Holy Spirit that corresponds to the virtue of charity? The answer is yes. It is the gift of wisdom, which is the most perfect of all the gifts. What is the gift of wisdom? The gift of wisdom is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which affects that man under the direct action of the Holy Spirit, judges of all things by reference to the highest and most sublime of all causes, which is the wisdom itself of God, insofar as it is made manifest to us by faith. End quote. Soul, help me. Lord, give me the grace to convert anything that I know into wisdom so that that may be my life. So like we discussed, Mother, we can practice it often. It becomes natural. It becomes second nature. It will become eventually our nature. It's a progression. It could happen immediately. It can happen over 65 years like it did to Louisa. Again, everything's up for grabs. It all depends really on our desire. Thanks be to God for this opportunity. Mother, sisters, for the time, your vocation, I can't stop. And Sister Gloria, the IT director in the corner there, making sure everything's good. Actually, the audio was spectacular today. We're still working out some kinks, but, and thank you also for everyone who generously donated to building this studio in Maryville, Tennessee. So at this time, I'm going to allow everyone to unmute themselves if they'd like to and say goodbye to Mother and the sisters. You may do so now if you so bye. Please.
Bye. Bye, Anne.
Bye, Mother. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Here's Peter.
God bless you.
Love you, Anne. Anne's at the beach.
Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Mother. We love you.
Thank you.
I love y'all too. God bless you.
God bless you, happy, Mother.
Happy Holy Week.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank you.
Bye.